Good morning.
Good morning.
Good to have you all with us. Take your Bibles and turn to 1 John, chapter 4. 1 John, chapter 4. How would you define the love of God? How would you explain it? John takes just a handful of verses in this chapter and makes plain to us what the love of God is. Poet wrote, "How great and deep the Father's love, that Christ should leave his home above to come to earth below, that he should suffer all alone, that on the cross for sin atone, his grace on us bestow. God loved us in our dreadful state, and open to us heaven's gate that we might someday go. This love is bound by his decree. The Savior paid our penalty and washed us by the snow." All God's people said. Hymn writers, poets, preachers of all ages, theologians, have, and I say tried, because we've not done a great job, have tried to express and define the love of God, and yet have failed because of our own mental limitations, our human frailties. These things keep us from being able to paint a picture that would explain the love of God. How can such love be defined? How can such love be expressed in words that would both exalt God and give us understanding? That's a big task, to explain a thing that both exalts God and gives us the understanding to use it, to apply it, to view it. The only place we can really go to understand the love of God is the Bible. It's in the Word of God that we will find the answer. We will find the definition. We will find the picture of the love of God. And I think in our text, 1 John 4, verses 9 through 12, John gives us the answer. Let me just give you the outline real quickly. Number one, in verse 9, we have the demonstration of his love. In verse 10, we have the declaration of his love. Verse 11, we have the dynamic of his love. And in verse 12, we have the display of his love. The demonstration, the declaration, the dynamic, the display. All these things are found in these simple verses of 1 John. John wrote four books. He wrote the Gospel of John, 1st, 2nd, and 3rd John, the epistles. And one other book he wrote, the book of Revelation. So we have a man that is versed in theology and was a profound writer. He was a gifted writer. So let's look at this wonderful truth, the love of God. Number one, notice the demonstration in verse 9. Verse 9 says this, "And this was manifest, the love of God toward us, because that God sent his only begotten Son into the world that we might be, that we might live through him." The key word to this, in this verse, is the word manifested. And this was manifested, the love of God. The word manifest means a display of something. It means to demonstrate. How did God put on display his love? How did God demonstrate his love toward us? It says God manifested his love toward us by sending his Son into the world. Love was not just demonstrated in Jesus coming to die. Love was demonstrated by God sending his Son. God's love is demonstrated in the sending of his Son to earth to die. This sending was a work of God, a picture of God's love for humankind. We call this in the Bible the incarnation. John 1:14. The Word became flesh and dwelt among. We beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. The Word became flesh and dwelt among us. He left the majesty and splendor of heaven. He left the throne room of God, came down the stellar stars from heaven to earth, took upon himself the form of a human in the form of a baby born in a manger. He lived 33 years here on earth. He never did one thing wrong. He never said one thing wrong. He never sinned once. He was perfect. God sent his Son to earth to pay the debt of mankind. There's no greater demonstration of God's love than this. When you think about what God did, it should cause us to remember the extraordinary price that it cost Christ to die, because he agreed with God to come to earth to die for us. That is unbelievable. Men are looking for a God who loves them. The only way you're going to find him is to look in the Bible. There are a lot of things that are called God, a lot of things that are made God, a lot of religions that propose God, but this is the only God who so demonstrated his love to mankind that he would send his own son to die for mankind. Who would do that? Only God. God demonstrated, he manifested, he put on display his love by sending his son to die. In verse 10, we have the declaration of this love. Listen to what it says. Here's the declaration. Herein is love. Not that we love God, but that he loved us and sent his son to be the propitiation for our sin. John is saying to us, look at this. Look at this. Herein. Look at this. This is love. The best we can be, folks, is try to love. And we don't do a very good job of it. God doesn't try to love. God doesn't have love. God is love. The measure of love, the greatest picture of love, the most dramatic illustration is love, is given in this declaration. We didn't and we wouldn't, in our sinful condition, love God, even if we had to. It's not in our makeup. We don't have the capability. And even if we did, it is not the pure, perfect, undefiled love of God. It's a weak, selfish love. It's a conditional love. Herein is love. Not that we love God, but that he loved us. Unconditional. There's no conditions we have to meet for God to love us. We don't have to live a certain way for God to love us. We don't have to do certain things for God to love us. We don't have to work to be the best we can for God to love us. God loves us in spite of ourselves. In fact, the Bible says that God loved us in the very condition of being sinners. He loved you exactly as you are. He doesn't tell you to do better and come and see him in a week. He doesn't tell you to work on it and do a study course on how to live better and be better. No. He sent his son to die for you, pay your sin debt. He loved you. And the picture of this love is found in this verse. The Bible says, herein is love. Not that we love God, but that he loved us. And here's the picture. And sent his son to be the propitiation for our sin. The word propitiation is a Greek word that pictures the atonement. It's the way to appease God's justice. How can God love you and yet be just and not punish you for your sin? Let me just stop to say, we all deserve the punishment for our sin. Period. There's no one so good that, well, I'll do the very best I can. God doesn't take a scale and weigh it. And if your good works outweigh your bad works, you're okay. That's nonsense. No, here's what God says. You've sinned, and your sin demands a price. And because God is holy, because God is just, He must judge your sin. Well, Pastor, how could He do that and love me? He sent His Son to be the propitiation for our sin. Now, the Old Testament picture was a lamb was brought once a year. The lamb was slain, the blood was taken. The high priest would then take that blood into the tabernacle, walk through the holy place, to a curtain, through the curtain, into the Holy of Holies. In the Holy of Holies was the Ark of the Covenant. Atop the Ark was a mercy seat. Overshadowing the mercy seat were two cherubim, all done in gold. The mercy seat was then looked upon by the high priest. He would take the blood and pour it on the mercy seat. And God would see the blood and apply the atonement for the sins of the people for that year. In Hebrews 9:5, in fact, the 9th chapter describes this whole process. The word propitiation, translated here, is the same word in Hebrews 9:5, translated mercy seat. I want you to see this. He was our mercy seat. In the Old Testament, the mercy seat was poured on, the blood was poured on the mercy seat for an atonement. In the New Testament, Jesus, the mercy seat, gave His own blood for an atonement. When Jesus went to the cross, He propitiated as our mercy seat. And shed His blood to pay our sin. And everyone who looks to the cross and accepts that payment for their sin can be saved and freed from guilt and given a home eternal in the heavens. Because Christ was our mercy seat. What a declaration. John said, there's a demonstration. And this was manifest in the love of God. There's a declaration. Herein is love, not that we love God, but that he loved us and sent his son to be the propitiation. Jesus didn't make a propitiation. Jesus was the propitiation. It's not what he did, it's who he was. There's a third thing in this wonderful passage. The dynamic, verse 11. Verse 11 says, beloved, if God so loved us, and he did, we ought to love one another. If God so loved us, we ought to love God. That's not what it says. That would make sense, wouldn't it, in the context of this verse? If God so loved us, we ought to love God, as I would say. It says, if God so loved us, we ought to love one another. The most potent dynamic is not reciprocal. It's applicable. There's a difference. It's not doing what God did to us. It's doing for God to others. That's the application in our life. You can say all you want that you love God. But the demonstration, the dynamic of your love is shown in how it is applied to others. Beloved, if God so loved us, we ought to love one another. As recipients of the love of God, we are to show his love to others. The word love is the word agape. Let me give you a simple definition. Agape love is the love from God to you, through you, to others. Let me say that again. The love of God is the love from God to you, through you, to others. That's the dynamic of this love. When we get to the love of God, we understand that he sent his son to die. It should motivate us to be like him and love others like he loved us. What a dynamic. Then there's one last thing. The display of his love. How is it displayed? Here's a verse. No man has seen God at any time. Let's pause for a moment. What on earth does that have to do with God's love? Is there a connection? Well, sure there is, and John wouldn't have written it. What's John trying to say? No man has seen God at any time. Well, the fact is, no man has seen God at any time. Amen. Now, we do know this, that John chapter 1 verse 18 says, no man has seen God at any time. The beloved Son who is in the bosom of the Father, he hath declared it. That verse says that God sent his Son Jesus, who was God in the flesh, to come to earth to live a life amongst men so that they could see the God they had never seen before in the person of Christ. Now this verse says, no man has seen God at any time. Now listen to the rest of the verse. If we love one another, God dwelleth in us, and his love is perfected in us. How will people see the God whom they've never seen? By us loving them the way God loved us. God's love brought Christ to earth. God's love gave us everlasting life. And the person of the Spirit of God now lives in us. And as we walk through this life and love people and care about people, they see the God who no man had ever seen in our lives, as we demonstrate the love of Christ. We give them a view of God because we act like Jesus. I told this before, but it's a wonderful little story. A pastor was one day shopping, and he was just looking to buy a couple of pieces of fruit in the supermarket, got in line. In front of him was an older woman, very old. She had some groceries there, had a little group of bananas with it. The lady behind the register was putting in the mouse and told her how much it was. And the lady, this older woman, looked at her purse and looked at the pittance of change she had in her purse. She said, I guess I won't get the bananas. The lady said, well, you brought them up here. She said, well, I don't have enough to get the bananas. I guess I won't get the bananas. She paid for the rest and started to walk out. The pastor came up, put his two pieces of fruit on the thing and said, I'll take the bananas too. He bought his fruit and the bananas. He walked toward that woman and stopped her and said, ma'am, you forgot your bananas. She said, what? He said, you forgot your bananas. She paused, teared up, and said, "You remind me of Jesus." What's that? "You remind me of Jesus." This simple act of kindness, of love, allowed this woman to see the God whom she had never seen. And she saw him in the person of a pastor who could have just forgotten about it, could have not noticed it. But he responded in a way that would give her a glimpse of Christ that she would not soon forget. We meet people all the time, and we need to give them a glimpse of Christ that they cannot forget. That they may see the love of God in our hearts and want to have that love. It will dispel all their darkness, and he'll draw close to them. Listen. There's no condition here. He loves you unconditionally, all the time, equally, never changes. His love is perfected in us. The love of God. Simple message. But so powerful in that application. May we love them. May we love. Lord, help us. To allow the love of God through us to so shine in our heart that people would see you. And want the peace that only you can bring because they saw your love in us. God help us, we pray in Jesus' name.